Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
This is Your Network of Praise. Good morning. Thank you for listening. Hey, we have a special guest, quote unquote, in the studio with us, and we want to get to know what she's been up to. And to do the honors, we have Roger Lundquist. I'll tell you right up front, that special guest we've heard from before, Carlene Prince.
But
there are big doings going on. So Roger, why don't you lead the way?
Well, Dave, we are looking forward to this next hour because it's something that's been a long time coming, and it's kind of the follow-up to a discussion that the three of us had about 5.5 years ago in late 2014. And as you mentioned, Carlene is our special guest today, and Carlene is the only person, Dave, that I've ever hired that the night that I actually offered her the job, I said, I can't wait for you to leave. And the context of that was that even at the time that I asked Carlene to be the associate network manager here at YNOP, it was recognized that there was a calling on her life that was going to eventually emerge as the main thing, and that is music ministry and spoken ministry as well. And so we talked about that in an interview in late 2014, and now, Carlene, we're here to get the rest of the story today, as we want to talk, first of all, about a very major event coming up here in just a very short time. That is the release of your first CD.
Yes, it is. And I will totally answer that. But I have to say, that whole introduction makes me a little nervous. Dave, do you think I'm going to be getting a pink slip at the end of this conversation?
A ceremonial pink slip. No.
Yes. No. Which, by the way, we will talk about later, so don't be concerned about that. But yes, so here is the big announcement. As you said, Roger, in the fall of 2014, we actually had a conversation. At that time, I was just kind of starting in the middle of the process of recording a CD. And there's a long story that we will get into, I think, a little bit later in our discussion this morning. But I just want people to put a couple of important dates on the calendar if they're interested, because this day that we thought would happen a lot sooner, but the important thing is it's happening as the Lord has led it to be. The CD is coming out very soon here in about a week on July 14th. It is called Songs from Jacob's Ladder Ascending. And the kind of bonus surprise is there's actually a second CD in the wings that's a companion album to this called Songs from Jacob's Ladder Descending. And that is coming out November 14th. So two debut releases are going to be made available and ready for purchase and for ministry this year. And it's a really big moment.
Well, yes, it is. And of course, I've already got the copy of the first CD that you sent to me. And I'd heard some of the songs prior to that, but hearing the final version where all of the music tracks are mixed in, I mean, this is a beautiful presentation of these songs, and people will really enjoy hearing that. But going back to the original interview, we were talking about you producing a CD. Now, how did it go from one to two CDs?
Well, at that time, I think I even remember saying in that interview to you that one of the prayer requests I had during our conversation in 2014 was, hey, would you pray that I would know what songs are supposed to go on this album? And that's a problem that a lot of artists have, that you just have so many and they all mean something significant. They all say special things. They all have ministry value to them. But then it's in the studio process, you kind of have to filter through which are the ones that stand out the most, or which are the ones that you think are going to be the most important in the message that they have to share with people. And those, you know, 10 usually or so kind of make that final cut and make the CD. Well, I was just in pain, because as an artist, your songs are kind of like your babies, and, you know, it's like telling your family which children get to stay with you and which have to be kicked to the curb. And I was just brokenhearted about that. And I don't remember exactly how long it was, but I'd say sometime in the next year after that initial interview in 2014, I was back in the studio for another segment. We were working on fine-tuning and finishing some of these songs. It was one of those quiet whispers of the Holy Spirit where he just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, by the way, he said, this is not one CD. This is a two CD debut project. And I was enthralled with that, because we had exactly 20 songs. And one of them was one that we had kind of started to record as a scratch track demo, and ended up making it, instead of a ballad, we ended up making it an up-tempo number. And that is actually, we ended up digging back up the ballad version of it, and that's kind of the reprise version that ends CD2. It's a very, very beautiful acoustic laid-back version. And so we had exactly 20 songs. And the title is something that might intrigue people, and I'll tell you where we got that from. God actually used our own Earl the Pearl here in the office. I'd come back from one of those trips, and he asked how my time in the studio had gone, and was chatting with him. And he said, by the way, do you have a name for this first CD? And I hadn't even thought about it, because most debut albums by artists, they just self-title. It's called, you know, it's just them. It's Amy Grant or Carlene Prince or, you know, whatever. And so I just figured I would just do what everybody traditionally does. And later that afternoon, because he got me thinking since he asked that, and I had just found out from the Lord that this is actually going to be two CDs, I was on errands. I can tell you the exact spot on Reserve Drive in Kalispell where I was at a signal when God also gave me the title. He said, call these songs from Jacob's Ladder Ascending and Descending. And I knew immediately what he was getting at when he told me that, because years ago I had heard a pastor give a sermon on that famous story of Jacob in the Old Testament, where he saw that vision of a ladder to heaven, and these angels were ascending and descending on it. And I think it just speaks to the fact that there is so much more going on around us than what we see, and reminds me that this is spiritual ground, and we live a spiritual life, even though it's also lived out in the earth and in a temporal way. It's such an encouraging reminder that God is always doing more than we can see with our human senses, because we have such limitations. And these angels, the interpretation I heard from the pastor who I originally kind of got this idea from, is that those angels are being sent on assignment, and they are continuously coming down to earth doing what God tells them to do, and then they go back up to receive new assignments. And really, that's a lot like us as well, that we're all on mission. You know, I hate the fact that we call some people missionaries, because technically, if you live this Christian life, we are all on mission. We all have a purpose. There is something that God's called every single one of us to do. And so that's how I want to live this out with this music that God has given me, is to be on mission and to be on the assignments that he sends me on. In fact, that's something that I often say in the few concerts and things that I've done thus far, is I tell people right up front, if you came here for a performance, or if you came here for an entertainer, I'm sorry, but I'm probably going to really disappoint you, because I'm a worshiper. I'm not an entertainer. And there's nothing wrong with entertaining. God has given some people a skill set, even in that area, because that's what will draw people in and attract them into a concert where they can then hear the gospel and hear about Jesus. But for me, I don't know how to do that very well. Mm-hmm. I'm a very awkward entertainer. But I think there's something about us all coming together corporately to worship our King that is something that's very, very beautiful. And so I just want to be upfront about that, and not try to be, you know, pretend to be somebody that I'm not, and to be somebody on assignment. And so that's kind of the whole imagery and concept behind all of that. And I pray that when those moments happen, worship concerts that I might eventually do or whatever, that like Jacob in that vision, you know, he said, I had no idea God was in this place.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking forward to see happening, hopefully over and over again.
Mm-hmm. We're going to play one of the songs from the first CD, Songs from Jacob's Ladder Ascending. But before we do that, I want to just ask you one more question. And that is, when we visited in the fall of 2014, we were thinking this is going to be like maybe a year out or 2 years out. It's 5.5 years out. Tell us what transpired during these 5.5 years.
That's a really long and involved story, so I'll say it as succinctly as I can. And I'm gonna say this with a lot of tenderness and vulnerability as well. So around the time that we basically got the first CD finished within about a 2 year period, and then, Roger, quite honestly, my life just kind of caved in. I would describe it as I went into this very dark emotional cave, and it was very hard to discern what was going on, because when you're in a cave emotionally, there are times, you know, a cave is traditionally a dark and a damp place. It's not pleasant. There's nothing of warmth or light or comfort there. And every now and then I would kind of symbolically come out to the mouth of the cave, and I would see the rest of the world, and I would see that the sun was still shining, and I'd feel its warmth and its light and its presence, and that was a good thing, but somehow it wasn't connecting with me. And I started asking God, what is wrong with me? Because I feel like there are two parts of me. I can be so extreme on either side. I can be super responsible or super lazy. There are emotional struggles and battles that I've had all my life. I just couldn't make sense of. And something in me told me, this isn't all there is to the story. And there's something deeper here. And so I started to get some counseling. I started to search. I started to have some deep times of prayer with people who were safe that I knew that loved me and were willing to help me explore this with Jesus. And he started giving me some answers, and they weren't pleasant. We're talking like memories that I had blocked from my childhood that would make the struggles I had current day all of a sudden understandable. Like, oh, okay, if that's what happened, then these issues in my life make a lot more sense. They didn't just show up on their own. They're attached to something that happened that I haven't dealt with. And I just started to realize how much denial I was in. And that was an incredibly painful journey to realize there's stuff here. It's not pretty. And I've been fooling myself all this time. And probably other people around me maybe saw it, or at least saw the behavioral symptoms and the ways that those play out in a person's life. But God was calling me to a place of honesty, because I've always valued purity, which I think is interesting. That's like one of my soapboxes. I love purity. But no wonder I felt so fractured, because while I loved purity, you can't have purity without honesty. I wasn't honest about my life. I wasn't honest about relationship fractures that had happened in my past and just truly how deeply they affected me. I tended to over-spiritualize everything. There's a lot of coping mechanisms that you set up in your life. And in this time, I just realized, you know, and I would wrestle with God, like, I've been working so hard on these albums, and what about all the things you've told me, you've shown me, you've spoken over my life? Why is this taking so long? Because every time I would try to sit down and work on those projects for 5 years, I even had a little bit of a leave from work to try to get this stuff done. It was like hitting a brick wall. There was zero grace on me to move forward. I couldn't do anything. I mean, the simplest of things. I tried to design some business cards one day, and it's just everything went wrong. God in his love allowed me to not go any further until we dealt with the past. And so I realized in this time that God cared more about me than my music. And he cared more about my heart than any, quote, ministry value that I could give for him. And while it was such a hard, long, dark season, I'm starting to come out of it. I've experienced some real freedom, literally even in the last 6 months to a year. It's like all of a sudden some things are just, the chains are coming off, and I'm starting to see things clearly. I can hear the birds singing again. You know, I can feel the warmth of the sun on my heart again. And it's taken a long time to get there, and I am by no means finished. There's a lot more, and I think we do this all our life. You know, we work through our stuff all our life. We never arrive. But I have come out of this time of wilderness, as it says in the Song of Solomon, leaning on my beloved and realizing that I don't walk the straight walk I always would have proclaimed that I did. I walk with a limp, and it leaves me in a place of vulnerability a lot. But again, I think that's the purity that God desires, because there's not a lot he can do with us if we're thinking we're all that in a bag of chips, if we're thinking that we have something to offer him, and we're very proud of the things that we have to offer him. Instead of, would you just lean on me? And instead of being driven, would you let yourself be led by my hand, by my spirit? And then when you get to this place, Roger, where you can own this stuff, it's not fun and it's not easy, but when you can get to these real kinds of roots, then God can start watering those roots and nourishing and bring something up that's like a cedar oak that is strong and sturdy, and yet still has the vulnerability of its root system in the ground, and can speak into other people's places of pain and trauma with a lot more authenticity, because you're no longer trying to pretend like you are something that you aren't. So that's the short and long version, and there's so much more to that.
Yeah.
But I have come out of this time saying, God, thank you that you didn't let me move forward. I think I would have done so much damage to the kingdom. I think I would have hurt people. I would have hurt myself if I had gone into this thinking I was something other than I was and thinking that God was something other than he is. But I'm seeing things a lot more clearer these days, and it feels so good. It is so freeing. It's so amazing. And I'm just grateful. Isn't that just like our Savior? He saves us from so much, including ourselves.
Yeah. Well, we are going to play the first song. This is called Show You Who You Are. Anything you'd like to say before we play that?
You know, it's perfect that we're playing this after the long things that I just said, because this was a song God gave me. Like, all the songs had pretty much been picked and recorded for these albums, and this was the one that was written towards the very tail end of our recording sessions, and I wasn't even trying. It just kind of was one of those download moments, and God was saying, I'm going to take all of your scars. I'm going to take all of the things you've walked through. And if you come to me, if you come into me, I'm going to show you who you really are. Then I'm going to send you out to help other people understand this message.
All right. Well, that's the first song on the first CD, Songs from Jacob's Ladder, Ascending. That's coming out a week from today. Here's Carlene Prince on your Network of Praise. We're talking with Carlene Prince this morning here on Your Network of Praise, and with a very special reason. 1 week from today, her first CD, Songs from Jacob's Ladder Ascending, is going to be released. And Carlene, that is a very exciting thing to have that CD coming out a week from now, the second CD coming out in November. Yes. And this again, has been a tremendous amount of work, but God has brought all the right people to you. And that's one thing that I'd like to just comment on is whether it's the design of the jacket for the CD, or whether it's the CD itself, it seems like God has brought all the right people into this mix to take the songs that he's given you and put them down on that CD with just incredible quality. People who listen to the CD are going to be very blessed by it because, again, it isn't just what you've done, but God has brought all the right people in, even to just mix the CD. You've talked about Scott, the engineer who mixed it, and this is a very special thing. I'm looking forward to being able to share a couple more of the songs from the CD during this next part of the hour. But there's more than just the CD that we actually want to talk about, because at this point in time, now with the CDs ready to go, you're beginning to move into a new phase of your ministry life, and you actually have a ministry established. Tell us about that.
Yes. So I have a ministry that I'm going to be operating under, because, of course, you have to have somewhere to take care of all the funds and all the, you know, logistics of things that will be taking place. And the ministry name is called Do It Again Ministries. So kind of with this official first CD coming out, it's more than the CD release. It's a ministry launch, basically. And we'll get into some of the specifics of what all that will cover. But basically, the main idea would be that I would begin to accept invitations as God opens doors. And again, that's very important to me, that people understand the difference. I'm not trying to be a music artist who's taking gigs, you know. I don't want to play at a bunch of fairgrounds or whatever, unless it's something that the Lord has assigned. So, you know, I'm jumping into this seriously and purposefully, but wanting it to be doors that God has opened, because I don't want to step over any threshold that he hasn't authored. Right. So I'll be doing worship concerts, speaking engagements. People have been asking for more copies of some of the blog type things that I write. So I'll be posting those on my social media sites. Eventually, potentially be looking at writing a devotional book, podcast, because I've loved over my career here at Your Network of Praise. I've just so loved and cherished meeting new friends and having conversations with them, hearing their story of what God's done in their journey. And I think those things can be so nourishing for all of us. So it'll kind of be media in a more expanded view, but again, just mm-hmm. as God leads.
Yeah, now you mentioned some of the things such as the worship events and speaking engagements. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't actually new to you. You have been doing those things in the past. In fact, when we did the interview in 2014, if I remember right, you were leaving the next day or within a couple of days for such an event in New Mexico,
right,
where you were going to provide the music ministry for a ministry event in New Mexico. So you have been doing these things, but it's been on a limited scale because you have had a day job that you've had to be reporting to. And all, but this is a time where the priority is shifting from one to mm-hmm. the other. And so now, with the CDs done and the ministry launching at this point in time, you are ready to make this the focus of your ministry activities.
Yes, exactly. So I think this year I've lost track, but I think I'm going on 13 years of being here at Your Network of Praise. And again, I just see God's gracious and kind hand, and the fact that my job here has literally built so much in me that I didn't have. I've hopefully grown a lot while I've been here, and then hoping to put those skills to use now in a different version of ministry, but it's all still very much going to be ministry to my heart. And just honestly, Roger, I want to reach people who are in pain, who feel gridlocked in that, and just talk to them about a Jesus that heals.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned on a network update a few weeks ago that in follow-up to the COVID-19 stay-at-home orders, nationally, 67% of Americans who have been subject to those stay-at-home orders have reported a decline in their mental health. Mm. There's a lot of stress that people are feeling. They're wondering about the future of their jobs, wondering if they're going to be able to keep their home, wondering if they're going to remain healthy. People are very fearful these days, and even among Christians, we have those same challenges to keep our heart in the right place and to keep the biblical perspective. So I believe the timing of the launch of your ministry and the release of the first CD is very much on track with what God would have, because this you're about to go into an environment in which a lot of people are in need of hope. Now, you've used the term musicianary. Tell us a little bit about what that means to you as you think of the people you're going to be speaking to and providing music ministry to in the future.
Sure, you bet. So I've kind of been starting to utilize that as a phrase to just kind of try to help people understand the goal here of what I'm going to be doing and the transition that's going to take place. I didn't create that term. I've heard other people use it, but basically it's musicians who are also functioning like a missionary in the fact that they are asking for people to come around them and be part of the kingdom efforts that are happening and support them so that they don't have a day job that they have to be tied to for income just to be surviving. So they literally are free to go wherever the Lord sends them and to do kingdom matters. But like everything, things are so much better when we do it together. So I'm going to be in need of having support, both prayerful and financial as well. And I don't even know, and I'm glad that I don't even know how to even start asking for that, except just to say that that's the goal. God warned me just 2 weeks ago. He said, do not become a professional fundraiser, because as soon as we do that, we start to kind of go down this business road and this contractual road in our relationships. And then, you know, I'm talking you know, for example, to you, Dave, and if I'm trying to drum up your support, it takes away from the honest relationship we can have, because it makes it a business transaction instead of the Lord just leading however he wants to do it, because we don't need to beg and plead. We have a Father who takes care of us. So, you know, it doesn't mean I will never be asking for funds. I mean, I will be occasionally, but my goal is to do that as the Holy Spirit leads and not be doing that, you know, beating the same drum over and over, because I just trust that God has this entire plan worked out.
Right. Well, you know, we take time three times a year at YNOP. We talk about the funding part that is needed for the ministry's operations. And each time that we go on the air, I say we ask you to do a couple things. We tell you what the need is. We tell you how much, or we tell you what the ministry is that God has called us to do, such as the new station in Tanzania that we just got involved with.
Right.
We tell you what the cost is, and we ask you to pray, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord takes it from there, and each year he prompts a certain number of people to provide.
Right.
And I know he'll work in that way with yours. But along that line, though, if someone is interested in finding out more about your ministry, is there a website they can go to have a look at Do It Again Ministries and find out more about the CD or how they could support you?
Absolutely. Yep. It is doitagainministries.com is the website. And then I'm also on social media, Facebook. You can find me at facebook.com/artist Carlene Prince. Also on Instagram @artist_Carlene Prince.
Yeah. Now, over the more than 10 years, I guess, that you and I have worked together, I've seen you in several settings, lead worship at church, at your church a number of times. I've seen you in other settings where you were doing music ministry. And I've said to you that I felt you have a very special ability, that the music opens the door. It calms people's hearts. It gets them ready to hear then what you're going to say when you talk to them. And I believe that in the day and age we live in, people are having a hard time, more so than normal, and that this is a really important time for people to be brought back to that that tender heart for the Lord, where they're hearing his voice, where the worries of today are in the background, not the foreground. Mm-hmm. So I know that there isn't a cookie cutter, this is what it'll look like every time you go out, but tell us a little bit about when you go into a setting of having the opportunity to do music ministry, what does that look like at times?
Yeah, you said a key word. I think you used the word quiet, and that's actually something that's very near and dear to my heart, is to quiet an atmosphere, because I think our world is so noisy, and I think that's going to increase. I don't think that's going to get any better. You have 1,001 voices out there already. You know, in times where I've struggled with this calling, quite honestly, and wrestled with God, I'm like, God, I don't want to be out there to just be one more person out there doing this kind of thing. I want to know that there's a reason, and I want to know that there's something on your heart to accomplish. I feel very much like Gideon and Moses and anyone else who, when God called them, said, you know, I'm not skilled. I'm not good with words. I don't know how to do this. What do I say to these people? But again, that's the whole point, is that in and of ourselves, all we really have to offer to the Lord on any given day is our weakness and our desire to obey him. And when we follow after him and the things that he initiates, again, because I didn't manipulate it or make it happen, what I desire to do is do these worship concerts where, again, because it's not driven by performance or an entertainment factor, it's literally like, let's just gather together. Let's have some honest conversation. Let's talk about our journeys, where we're at. See if we think there's anything the Lord might be saying to us in this hour. And to just have soft and subtle music. You know, I'm sure there's times I'm going to be playing with bands and we're going to have a lot of fun. But mostly, I just kind of see this as being mostly acoustic. That's why we have the CDs. That's the more produced version with all the instruments and stuff. But I think there's something about coming quietly and simply, like the undoctored version, the stripped down version of where we just present our hearts before the Lord and just have a time of worshiping him in intimate worship. And when things get calmed down and all the other voices stop, that's when you're still enough that you can actually hear the voice of the Lord speak whatever it is he needs to say to you. And what I love is I think that's going to look different for everyone. You don't even, mm-hmm. I mean, there's times you corporately hear the voice of the Lord, but I think much more powerful is when he's speaking to every single individual. And that's mm-hmm. what I desire to see.
We're going to play a song called Give Me Your Pain, which is one of them that I just see as being one of, especially right now, a song that God is going to use to really penetrate a person's heart in mm-hmm. one of these live performances. We're going to play that song in a second, but I just want to mention something I've mentioned to you at times over the years. Back in the 90s, when I was going through a really challenging time in my work life and had a lot of fatigue and everything, I ended up going to a concert by Fernando Ortega, and it was just him sitting at the keyboard, just kind of going as he felt led from one thing to the next. He occasionally would stop playing, and he would just speak for a few minutes, and then he would go back to music, and then every few minutes he kind of changed what he was doing. But the point was that he was leading everyone into a quiet place where they could hear from God, where the worries of today were pushed aside. And I believe God has special plans for what you're going to do. So we're going to play that song, Give Me Your Pain, right now. Anything you'd like to say about it before we start it?
No, the basic premise for this song is just the fact that God did not leave us alone, or what I would call untooled, when we go through our pain. And two of the most precious gifts he's given us is the blood of Jesus and the anointing. And the fact that both of those combined together, when we experience the anointing of his presence, it washes over us. And the blood is what purifies us. It's what deals with the past, silences it forever, and says, you can no longer have a hold on my son or daughter of God. And so those two things bring victory and peace, bring redemption and healing. And it's all an invitation. Everything God ever does with us is an invitation. When he says, come to my table and eat, and let's reason together and let's talk. And when the blood washes over us, we get cleansed and purified and changed, and you won't be the same. So this is an invitation from the Father's heart. If you have pain today, he's saying, give me your pain.
Have you ever felt so dry, and you don't know when the drought will end? Have you ever felt so broken, and you don't know when your heart will mend? Have you ever felt so lost, and you don't know what it means to be found? Have you ever been without hope? Lean in, be still, and hear the sound. Is he says, that's what my blood is for. What the anointing is about. If this is what I do best, give me your pain, I'll turn it inside out.
Well, we're taking a few minutes this hour to spend time visiting with Carlene Prince, our Associate Network Manager here at Your Network of Praise. And Carlene, we're talking about a couple things. The fact that your first CD is going to be officially released a week from today. But we're also talking about the launch of a brand new ministry, Do It Again Ministries. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't believe in cloning, so I'm saying, how can you be doing multiple things at once? And go back to a comment I made at the beginning of this hour, and that was the day that I offered you the job of associate network manager, I also said I couldn't wait to see you leave. And that was because we knew that there was going to be a day where music ministry was going to be the focus. So right. What is that transition going to look like here now? You have your duties here at YNOP,
sure.
And now you have the duties of a new ministry coming at you.
Sure, exactly. Well, to the best of our ability, Roger, as you and I have talked behind the scenes, we're just going to do our best to work in partnership together and in tandem. And I'm not leaving my job at your Network of Praise, you know, at any time in the super visible future, but I kind of expect that things will be a little bit accelerated. So we just don't know what it's going to look like, but I'll kind of be slowly phasing out. It also depends on when I can have full support raised, so that I'm not needing my paycheck from this job either. And as that musicianary phrase came about, as I can have funds taken care of through that. So I just want people to know, I love my job here at YNOP. I love being here. And we know that God will show us what that looks like. There just isn't a super established plan right now, because it kind of depends on the timeline of how all this happens.
Right. Yeah, we're going to be just kind of watching day by day and moving some of your duties off your plate at this time. And then as the music ministry becomes more and more busy and you're needing to devote more time, we'll just continue that process. The funding is, of course, part of it, as you mentioned. And tell me about the Love Sent Me campaign.
Yeah, so the Love Sent Me campaign is something that the Father's had in my heart for a long time, that I keep thinking about the fact that often when, like, a church or an event has an artist in, the first thing they do is contact that person's ministry and say, how much does it cost to have you come in? And usually it's a staggering amount of finances. And I was asking God for the name of this and what it would look like. And again, this is kind of loosely structured right now, but we're going to call it the Love Sent Me campaign. And what I envisioned is going somewhere, doing an event, somebody coming up to me afterwards and saying, how is it possible that you even came to us? And I would answer them saying, well, love sent me, because my desire is to see the body of Christ rise up and to have such an army of supporters that people would basically pay it forward for people that they would never meet, congregations maybe they've never even heard of, that if my travel expenses and my immediate ultimate needs could be taken care of, that again, we don't have to enter into this business relationship where I tell them I have to have X number of dollars to pay my way to come, where if other people out of love could be so selfless and so focused on just wanting to see Jesus reach people, they would take care of those needs. And perhaps that would allow churches that normally could never have an outside speaker or minister come in, because we all need that refreshing. We all need to hear a different voice every now and then. Like you were mentioning, the Fernando Ortega concert, those nights can be life-changing for people.
Yes.
If it comes at the right time of a struggle that they're going through, that can be not just, again, a concert. It can be a beautiful night where things start to shift for them because God touches them in a special way. So the Love Sent Me campaign, you can reach out to me and let me know if you're interested, and I'll give you more details. But it basically would be just if you want to pay it forward and give me funds that I can use towards airline tickets or whatever, so that when somebody calls, I don't even have to ask them, what's your budget? And can you afford me? We don't even have to have the unpleasantness of that conversation. We can just say, hey, if Jesus is in this, you're in it, I'm in it, let's do it.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we'd want to see possible, that if there's a pastor or ministry leader that feels that it would be helpful to the people in their organization, their congregation, for you to come, that money would not be part of that.
Yeah.
So again, if they'd like to find out more about your ministry so they can just pray effectively, if they'd like to find out how they can contribute to the Love Sent Me campaign, what is the web address again?
Absolutely. Do It Again Ministries. You can sign up for my mailing list there, so you can also be kept in form of things that God is doing. I'm also on social media as well, but the best place and the first place I would say to start is doitagainministries.com.
All right. Well, Carlene, we're very excited about both the release of this first CD a week from today and also the official launch of Do It Again Ministries, because God has equipped you in very special ways to touch the hearts of people. I see you as being a conduit through which His power is going to flow into the lives of people that you're touching through music ministry and as you speak. And so I'm very glad that after these many years that we've known each other and had the chance to be involved in ministry together through YNOP in a variety of settings, that this day is finally here where the calling that he placed on your life a long time ago is now ready to get started in this new way. So God bless you as you go forward. We'll be praying for you, and we look forward to seeing what God has in store.
It means so much to me, Roger. Thank you. You've given me many opportunities to grow here, and I've been so grateful for that, because God doesn't waste anything. You know, it's all one layer on another that adds to the foundation of what he's doing. And together, may we reach hurting people, no matter how that looks like. So thank you.
Well, we're going to wrap up this hour with one final song. What is this one going to be?
Oh, we thought we'd stir things up a bit, make this kind of fun. I actually played a snippet of this for Dave a few years ago, and he's like, I like that. When you get praise from Dave, that's high praise. I was super thrilled. So I'm dedicating this one to my good friend, Dave Brown. But this is a fun, upbeat song called His Heart for You.
When days feel long, the climb is uphill. You don't know if you will make it. Speak of his love. Inform your soul that you will not be defeated. This is truth, and it sets free.
That is Carlene Prince with the song His Heart for You.
Awesome.
Brand new song.
Yes.
From a brand new album.
I love it. But we know Carlene very well. We're so proud of her. Good job, Carlene.
It's from her CD, Songs from Jacob's Ladder Ascending,
which will be out a week from today.
Yeah, you can't get it yet, but in a week you can.
So let's see, July 14th?
Yep.
Awesome.
That's right.
Awesome.
And by the way, if you want to keep up to date on the latest ministry news and updates for what Carlene's involved in with her ministry, go to her webpage. It's doitagainministries.com. All right? Doitagainministries.com.
That's right. You can also find all sorts of information about the album and Carlene's ministry that she just launched on our Your Network of Praise Facebook page.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org. So you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.